for decades, people in the American theater had wanted some kind of stability, some kind of force to happen in the theater that could encourage playwrights, that could give actors a stable place to work, and technicians and prop people and stage managers some place where they could create, where they weren't subject to the hit-flop syndrome of Broadway. So what Margot did in Dallas was give people a chance to create a life in the theater, a stable season where they would know they would have a job for months at a time. And this was her dream. And she believed that if you didn't have that, then really we're not going to have an American theater, because there's no place where plays can be fostered. There's no place where acting traditions can be handed down. So what she really started was huge when you think about it. Margot had a few role models that helped her. Hallie Flanagan, Eva LaGallion, her friend Rosamond Gilder, who was the editor of Theater Arts Monthly. But Margot also inspired other women. The women who followed her, Nina Vance at the Alley Theater, Zelda Fitchandler at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. And then it's interesting, once this resident theater took hold, then the men enter the picture. And Guthrie starts the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, and then so on and so on. Since Margot was the pioneer, the first person to try to do this, this nonprofit resident theater outside of New York, she had to balance staying in Dallas with still maintaining a national profile. Margot could not have stayed in Dallas and been a success. Her Dallas audience demanded from her a national presence. And also, just emotionally, she needed contact with her New York peers.